This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Welcome to the Research Talks from Stockbox with Alan Green, and the week that the Suez Canal is blocked by a large ship, but we're pressing on here nonetheless. How are you, Alan?
I'm fine, thanks, Mark. Yeah, I did see a picture of that ship. If you're the captain of a large vessel like that, you know, you should really know better. If you're going to go in the Suez Canal, you should at least have passed the requisite tests and exams to make sure you're capable of navigating a ship up the canal. But this guy clearly not. So,
Interesting times that's affected so much trade. It was like it's billions per day or something. I was reading. It's incredible. It's really put the Suez Canal on the map, I think.
Oh, it's been on the map many times in the past, but of course, because it is a canal, it's a lifeline literally for trade and oil and everything else. And of course, that gets blocked for whatever reason. It can have catastrophic effects, as we're already seeing.
Great. So today we're doing a TSX special, aren't we? It's a little bit different. We're talking about two TSX companies, namely Forum Energy Metals and AIS Resources.
We are indeed, Mark. Yeah, we spoke about the Hemlo region on the north coast of Lake Superior a few weeks ago, and that's just a tiny scratch on the surface of the country that is Canada. And of course, it's just a vast region. And quite rightly, the Canadian TSX exchange is viewed as something of a haven for mining companies and resource companies, particularly in the backdrop that we have now with the surge in interest and the new commodity super cycle we're entering. There's so much interest and so many investors keen to invest into this region. But of course, just as with the AIM market in London, companies don't have to be based there. We have a company that's, of course, AIS Resources is focused in Australia. Mm-hmm. It's focused in Australia, but also has projects in Argentina and South America too, Argentina and Peru. Mm-hmm.
As
investor, you may be asking, well, how do I trade this exchange? It's actually very straightforward. I have a SIP with Hargreaves Lansdown, so if I want to trade either of these stocks I'm going to talk about, I simply when I look at the stock, which is shown as listed on the database, I have to give my express consent to execute order outside a regulated market or a multilateral trading facility. So that's literally all you have to sign, and then. Bob's your uncle, away you go. It's very straightforward.
Yeah,
indeed.
I think I've done it before. You fill in a form, don't you, online, and then you sign and then it allows you to trade in those stocks.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's very straightforward. And I think that there are, obviously we've spoken about dual listings and the advantages that brings, but certainly I think the TSX exchange is rightly regarded as one of the best exchanges to give yourself exposure to an enormous cross-section of resources, resource and mining investors, both at institutional, high net worth, and of course retail level. So it's a really exciting place to be.
It's a good market for that, and I think on the TSX they're valued a lot more realistically as well than they tend to be on the AIM market, these sort of miners.
I think so. Yeah. I think we've had these conversations before. I think certainly a lot of the microcap mining companies listed on AIM don't really, or probably up to 18 months ago, didn't really get too much recognition in terms of the value of their assets. But of course, that has now changed with the resurgence in commodities. So, whereas in the UK, you'd see a miner valued at two and a half million, sometimes less. That base valuation is usually around the 8 to 10 million mark now. So. So it's caught up with the TSX in that regard, for sure.
Yeah, but it is I know we spoke about, it was Trident, wasn't it? Trident Royalties not so long ago. And they're a royalty company, only one of two listed in AIM or in London, whereas there's a heck of a lot more over on the TSX. So mining and exploration is very well highly regarded on that exchange. That's for sure.
It is indeed, Mark. Yeah.
So what do you want to take first, then, Alan? I'll let you choose.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Forum Energy first.
Okay.
So Forum Energy. I'm just going to bring the chart up here. So the Forum Energy TSXV listed, the epic code is FMC. It's currently got a market capitalization of 50 million Canadian, so that's about 30 million, I guess, sterling-wise. Shares are traded as high as 42 cents on the year and as low as 0.05 cents, currently at 36 cents, giving it, as I say, a market cap of 50 million Canadian dollars. The company also, we were talking about dual listings, it started trading on the OTC Venture Market Exchange on March the 10th. So certainly that's given the share price a bit of a boost as well. It's now got exposure to US investors, and when you look at the raft of projects that I'm going to discuss, rightly so. So Forum Energy Metals, on the website, it states it is an energy metals explorer seeking copper, nickel, cobalt, uranium, and palladium. The company is run by CEO Richard Mazur. He's 35 years experience. He's a real veteran as a project geologist, financial analyst, and he's also a director at Alta Ventures, Impact Silver Corporation, Midnight Sun Mining Corporation, and has been involved in bringing many, many projects to fruition. The vice president exploration is a fellow called Ken Wheatley. Ken's got even more experience, 40 years experience, so he is also a veteran. He's with the Association of Professional Engineers and Geologists in Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan really is where the focus for Forum Energy lies. And, of course, if you look at a map of Canada, it's smack bang in the middle of this vast territory. And as we know, it's a territory that's very fertile, both for minerals and also for oil and gas production and discovery as well. So the company has a number of projects around it. Just to go back to Ken Wheatley a second, his 40 years experience are based around uranium projects, and the region is very prospective for uranium. We're talking about the Athabasca Basin, which is a vast territory covering a number of lakes, where previously he's brought projects to market, and he's got a very strong record of mineral discoveries. Also, has been on the board of Areva Resources, which is now Orano, and as we'll find, Forum Metals already have a couple of joint ventures with Orano. So onto the projects. First of all, we have the Janice Lake Copper Project. Now, straight away, this has sparked a lot of interest and a lot of people following this. The company signed a 30 million option agreement with Rio Tinto. And in 2019, Rio spent nearly $4 million confirming copper mineralization at the Janice Lake copper prospect. Last year, it set up camp and undertook a rotary air blast drilling program, acquired some results, and it has just started drilling a 2,800 square kilometer area called the refuse target, not the refuse target, the refuse target across there. That's very recent, so we are going to hear more news about the drilling as we go forward. But clearly, with an operator like Rio involved in the project, that's very exciting indeed. We then come to the Fur Island uranium project, and here I mentioned Ken Wheatley's connection to Orano. Here there's a $6 million option agreement with Orano forming a joint venture. Phase one drilling was completed last year, and again, started this month, the two diamond drill rigs have been transported to the Fur Island project, and drilling has already started. They're drilling a 5,000 square meter area and drilling 24 holes. So again, news on that is imminent. If we look at the Forum share price, we can see obviously, you know, up to December last year, shares have traded fairly flat across the year, but really started as we came into 2021 and all this activity started. So we've really seen a surge in interest and activity, and of course an increase in the share price. Also on the back of the fact that Forum raised $2.5 million in three separate private placings over the past 3 months to partway fund this activity, and also to get involved in some other projects which I'll come to shortly. So project number three is the Love Lake Copper Nickel Palladium Project. I should say, with Janus Lake Copper and Fur Island, they're both 100% owned by Forum Energy. Love Lake also 100% owned. It's a copper, nickel, and palladium project. In 2020, a high-level aeromagnetic survey identified the Road, Corvin Lake, and Watt Lake. What lake targets as potential targets for copper, nickel, and palladium. And the company is currently going through a permitting schedule to undertake another more detailed aeromagnetic survey over those priority targets. And the company also said a few weeks ago it had a ground electromagnetic survey planned for the Road target to provide targets for a 3,000 meter drill program. So Love Lake obviously progressing nicely too. We then come to the Wollaston uranium project, which was acquired last year. Again, bear in mind Ken Wheatley's experience, 40 years experience working uranium. Now Wollaston is sited, and again, it would be a good idea if, when you're looking at this in more detail, go to Google Maps and just study the area, because it's just this vast territory of forest and lakes, and it just gives you a sense of how far apart some of these projects are, and also the Athabasca Basin. It's a really good exercise to do it, as you're doing your own research. So Wollaston is 10 kilometers south of the Rabbit Lake and McLean Lake uranium processing plants in the Athabasca Basin. So clearly, Ken Wheatley was involved in some of those in the Rabbit Lake project, I believe, going back. In 2021, there's been considerable progress already at Wollaston. Next month, the company has a gravity survey planned, and given that Orano, again, Ken Wheatley's former company, and a company called Cameco have major operations in Athabasca, and both are partnered with Forum, this makes for another really exciting project. Just a note on the Rabbit Lake processing plant, there are 140 million pounds of uranium have been found at Rabbit Lake. So, there's clearly huge potential there for Forum Energy. Mm. So we then come to some of the joint ventures. Firstly, there's the Key Lake Road joint venture. There are two targets there: the High Rock, which is 100% owned by Forum Energy, and the Costigan Lake, which is 65% owned. Drill targets identified here on an area covering 2,000 hectares. The High Rock. The High Rock prospect. There's a trend which runs across the area, runs into the Key Lake uranium mine, which has historically produced 167 million pounds of uranium. Both High Rock and Costigan Lake targets are sited 10 kilometers south of the Key Lake uranium mine. So again, it's all within the area, and also from a geological anomaly standpoint, the anomalies run through both the area where the mine is and also where the drill targets are. So, another very exciting prospect. Mm-hmm. We then come to the Clearwater prospect, 75% owned by Forum Energy Metals, this is an area, a huge area, some 10,000 hectares, sited southwest of Fission Uranium's Patterson Lake South project and NextGen Energy's Arrow deposit in the western Athabasca Athabasca Basin. No news on Clearwater this year, but I'm sure, you know, given the interest now in uranium, we'll see some progress on that. Mm-hmm. We then come to the Morris Bay project. Morris Bay is 30, just under 40% owned by Forum Energy Metals, and the Morris Point project, which is 100% owned by Forum Energy. And again, the northwestern Athabasca Basin is a four-way project, in fact. So Forum Energy 40%, NextGen Energy at 28%, Cameco at 20%, and Orano at 12.5%. So that's a four-way working venture, which I think, you know, is always very positive, because clearly as the project develops, then maybe one is a better fit with one company than another, so the other partners can get bought out, as often happens. So the property, this property includes the Morris Bay uranium deposit, which has historically produced 1.5 million pounds of uranium. Forum have actually drilled this project some years ago and identified numerous zones, but clearly the fluctuation in the uranium price at the time made it uneconomical for them to pursue further drilling activities. But nonetheless, it's back on the radar now. We then finally come to the Hendy J joint venture. This is another joint venture activity with Rio Tinto. So this is 40% Forum Energy, 60% Rio Tinto. Now, Rio Tinto drilled the Hendy project in 2016 to look for uranium, hasn't any activity planned for this year. But as I said, with other projects, given the backdrop and given the interest in uranium at present, that's not to say it won't happen this year. So altogether, eight very high potential projects there. The dual listing on the US, I think, has signaled Forum Energy's intention going forward. But as I say, do take a look at the Athabasca Basin in Saskatchewan and just get a feel for the area. It's a fascinating story, and the company's currently got, as I say, a 50 million Canadian dollar market cap. That's probably about 30 million in sterling terms, which is not a huge amount of money considering all those targets. But what I like about Forum is also the board too, and I think the fact that you've got Ken Wheatley involved, who's been involved with these other companies too, that's a very strong buy in my book.
Yes, absolutely. The two directors there, what's that, 70 years, I suppose, combined experience in exploration. That's quite a lot.
It is. Yeah. Mm. It's highly significant. And but as I say, there are so many projects that could deliver. You know, obviously, yeah, we've spoken about Power Metals, and you know where each Power Metals with 11 or 12 different projects, and I think this is really the way for you know, new generation mining resource companies today to have a number of projects on the go, because the backdrop for commodities is so strong. I think, as we discussed before, there are so many areas of territory that are up for grabs, and some of these are privately owned. So, you know, private owners that maybe have held the license for 10, 20 years, or held the land for 10, 20 years, can all of a sudden, you know, have an opportunity to sell it off to a company with the resources to exploit it. So really exciting times.
Yes, they, as you say, they have an awful lot of projects there. I think the two key ones there were clearly the Janice Lake and the Fur Island uranium project. And I was speaking to both Rick and Ken on a podcast not so long ago, and the fact that they acquired Janice Lake, and then it wasn't very long at all, probably a year or so, that they then joint ventured it with Rio Tinto. I mean, you know, that's pretty significant, and it's one of Rio's biggest spends, I think, on that project as an exploration project. And then, of course, the uranium project as well. You know, there's not many uranium opportunities on the to invest in on the stock exchange, and I think uranium is going to be a very key commodity going forward, particularly with the green energy wave, you know, uranium, sorry, nuclear power plants, whether you like them or not, they are safe, and they are certainly one of the cleanest ways to produce excellent energy. And if we eventually discover, manage to do nuclear fusion, then then, you know, then it's fusion or fission. I always get confused, but the one that it's fusion, yeah. isn't it? You want, we're sort of trying to develop, isn't it? Fusion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, you know, I know it's been coming and going for a long time, but, yeah, nuclear is fantastic when you think about it. It's actually a pretty awesome commodity.
Oh, it is. It's amazing. And I think, yeah, you know, we've had the battles over the years, you know, the people saying nuclear energy is unsafe. It's actually incredibly safe. Yeah. And as you say, incredibly clean. And in the push and the drive to clean up the planet, it's an integral part of that. And yeah, we have to live with the consequences, obviously, of the used uranium rods and everything else. But I think as technology advances, there will be a way of dealing with these more efficiently in future. But yeah, those two projects. As you say, Mark, it's the joint venture with RIA that's the real standout here with Janice Lake. Well, it's not just Janice Lake; it's the Henley project as well. So that could be reactivated at any time. And of course, that is also a uranium project. It's the fact that that there are so many uranium projects all within this area, the Athabasca Basin, and you've got the Rabbit Lake and McLean Lake uranium processing plants, and there are other sort of processing plants and mines that have mined uranium over the years. And of course, as I said earlier, there's the interest back in uranium now, prices going up. So of course, dormant projects or projects that have been mothballed are now being revisited. And of course, we can take advantage now of the modern data mining techniques and modern 3D modeling and the way to analyze once you have the Aeromag survey images, you can do detailed analysis, and then of course drill targets provide you with core samples of what it looks as though is down there. And there's huge potential, I think, to for the region to develop more mines, because clearly the Saskatchewan region is very pro mining and very pro the development of mines to fund and drive its own economy. So it's one of the best places to mine in the world.
Yes, it is, and little is known about it. It'd be nice to go and visit it one day. I think at the moment it's very snowy, and they're using the opportunity to bring in all their gear using the snow cats. If you remember the film The Shining, which I only saw for the first time not so long ago in the cinema, and you probably saw it when you were younger, and it was probably very scary. But now to watch it again, it wasn't actually that scary. But I just remember the snow cats going over the snow roads, and I believe that's what's happening right now. With Forum in Saskatchewan. But from Saskatchewan to Australia and to AIS Resources then.
Indeed. So again, you know, going back to what I said at the start, we're still in on the TSX exchange, and we have with AIS Resources I think we would consider to be a TSX listed ECR Minerals. So by that, of course, I'm inferring the company's extensive involvement in the Victoria region in Central Australia, and there's a really interesting story to look at here. But to start with, AIS Resources, the epicode is AIS, of course. Currently got a market cap of $11.5 million dollars. So actually, there's no premium in these assets at all, which frankly I find astonishing given the story I'm about to unveil here. So shares are trading at 0.07 cents and have traded as high as 1 cent on the year and as low as 0.15 cents. Very little trading activity, as you'll see if you look at the charts, and we're currently sort of a little way below the year highs. So historically, AIS Resources has also been involved in manganese. I'm just going to deal with these at the start. It's got two projects in northern Peru, 300 kilometers north of Trujillo in the Cajamarca region, the El Zorro mine, and these projects have historically been worked over the past 4 to 5 years, but the the company's focus is in Australia, in what it refers to as the Golden Triangle, the Lachlan Fold Belt in central Victoria. Now, of course, we've spoken about ECR Minerals, its proximity of the Bayliston license to the Fosterville Gold Project. Well, AIS Resources have the Tullene Fosterville Gold Project in a license area EL6001. 10,000, some 7,000 tons of sample from there, 10 grams per ton from an area of 60 meters. And the company's also sourced an 88 gram nugget from the region too. Now, this project is just 12 kilometers from Kirkland Gold's Fosterville mine, and of course the Fosterville mine is the lowest cost gold producer in the world. At a cost of $315 an ounce to produce, and in 2020 produced 647,000 ounces of gold, compared to 619,000 ounces in 2019. So Fosterville is just up and away. It's hugely profitable and hugely successful. But of course, we've spoken about geological anomalies, geological trends, and this is just 12 kilometers from the mine. Just to go to the board, we have a gentleman called Philip Thomas, who's the chief executive of the company, formerly of Admiralty Resources. And he worked on the Nazca San Pedro mine in Peru. So that's obviously the Peru connection with the El Zorro mine. And also the Secret Pass Tin Cup Gold Mine, fantastic name, in Arizona. And of course, that involvement with companies called IRL Peru, Aristar, and Aristar Resources. The head geologist who was appointed in December last year, and you know, this is an absolute coup for the company, is a fellow by the name of Dennis Walsh. Now, Dennis Walsh is the former senior geologist working for Kirkland Lake Gold at the Fosterville mine. So, an absolute coup to bring that gentleman in, and clearly his knowledge of the area and his knowledge in developing the Fosterville mine to where it is now could be very key for this company. So why it still has the market cap that it does is a mystery. Also in Victoria, we have AIS owns the Kingston Gold Project, which is northwest of Stowell in Australia. And this license area is 167 square kilometres, and it's a drill-ready property, previously explored by both BHP Billiton and WMC in the years gone by. The territory there is adjacent to AXS-listed Navar Minerals. Thirdly, we come to the Yalgagrin Gold Project. This is not in Victoria. It's in West Wyalong, New South Wales. Two licenses there, EL6030 and EL5891. So this is a corridor, a gold-producing corridor that's got a lot of history in gold production, producing getting off of 450,000 ounces of gold at the beginning of last century. In that area, we have the Cadia Newcrest operation, which is some 200 kilometres northwest of the Yalgagrin project, and that's producing 900,000 ounces of gold a year. We have the Lake Cowal gold mine, which is some 40 kilometres away. That was purchased by Evolution for $550 million a year or so ago. We have the North Parkes mine, which is northeast of the project. That produced 1.5 million ounces of gold and just over 1 million ounces of copper over the past 25 years. The license, the EL5891, Thompson Resources, ASX listed Thompson Resources, owns all the territory around that license area. So the Yalgagrin project area is completely enclosed by the Thompson Resources interest. So clearly, you know, that area may well be may well prove irresistible to Thompson Resources as the project develops. So with Yalgagrin, AIS have said they are aiming to fast track the project to get to MRE level, that's mineral resource estimate level. the developments that have seen modest activity in the share price since late last year. The company raised $700,000 to fund the Tolleen Kingston acquisition late last year, and as I've already said, in December it signed the former Fosterville and Kirkland Lake Gold senior geologist Dennis Walsh. Mm-hmm. In January, the company undertook radar surveys at Aurelia Radar Geophysics at the Yalgagrun gold project, the radar geophysics showed prospective potential gold bearing structures, and both Philip Thomas and Dennis Walsh both stated that they were delighted with the results at such an early stage. In fact, no, that relates to the Tolleen Fosterville Gold Project, not the Yalgagrun. My apologies, I can't read my own writing here. So, so both Philip Thomas and Dennis Walsh stated they were delighted with the results from the radar geophysics that and the images that produced. In January, also, they raised a further $1.25 million in a private placing. And that brings us through to the start of this month, March, where they started drilling on the Yalgagrun project on the Neighbours Farm prospect. Mm-hmm. The early results from that drilling, Philip Thomas stated the geophysics showed a high probability of exceptional grades down to 30 metres. So, very encouraging results early on. So the company is now funded, and it's used that money to develop and acquire other projects. So we then moved to Western Australia. The company has acquired an option on a near 600 square kilometer exploration license near a place called Casterton in Western Australia, and this is a territory that's prospective for gold, nickel, copper, zinc, chrome, and gemstones, and is near to the Hummocks nickel chromite mine. So that's just been announced. So clearly, we'll have more news on that as the company progresses that interest. Then most recently, a few days ago, it announced it had acquired a 20% interest in the Tech One Lithium Resources Corporation in the Incahuasi lithium prospect in Argentina. Now, this is of particular interest. Obviously, we've seen the resurgence in lithium. We spoke recently about the resurgence in the lithium price. I think it was $10,000 to $15,000 a ton late last year, and it's up to $85,000 a ton already this year. So there is a well-documented and expected squeeze in the lithium price as we go forward. So that sharp increase could well reflect that. So, but this interest in Argentina, it's 20% interest in Tech One Lithium Resources Corporation. The prospect is next to Ganfeng and Orocobre lithium producers in the Argentina lithium triangle. And of course, Ganfeng are one of the biggest lithium companies in the world. Got a bit of publicity in the UK for its involvement with Bacanora Lithium, of course, in the Mexico Sonora Lithium project, and Orocobre Lithium are also big producers down there too. So a very, very interesting step forward from AIS Resources into the lithium space, and one that I think will pay off handsomely given the location of the territory and also, you know, given the interest in lithium for the EV and battery metals going forward.
Yeah, good. Yes.
So, go on. So again, ASX AIS Resources, a real cross section of opportunities there. But clearly, I think, you know, investors are very focused on what's happening in Victoria now, and certainly the Tallinn Fosterville Gold Project to secure a license 12 kilometres from the Fosterville mine is an absolute coup, as is bringing the former Kirkland Lake Gold senior geologist Dennis Walsh. So, you know, I think we're going to see some very exciting progress from AIS this year. As I say, in my opinion, it looks very cheap indeed, you know, down at 0.07 cents, giving a market cap of $11.5 billion.
$11.5 million, Canadian dollars.
Canadian dollars.
No, that is low, yeah, considering what they've got, particularly in the Victoria area as well. You know, we speak a lot about Power Metals, obviously, and ECR Minerals in that area. Of course, the Fosterville mine being the big name in the area. Yeah, they've got a lot of good projects, and I think Phil was also very, very happy about the lithium project they acquired as well in Argentina. He says he's very familiar with salars, which was a new word for me when I spoke to him. It means salt lake.
And salt lake, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, salt lake. Oh, you're more educated than me, Alan. But he was very, very happy about that. And that diversifies a little bit there away from just gold in Australia. But yeah, I guess it's just been perhaps missed by the market to date. And that's all I can think, really. And it won't be long, though.
It won't be long because the portfolio of assets owned by this company are quite exceptional. And I mean, how the markets miss this, you know, the former chief geologist for Kirkland Lake Gold comes in and is developing a territory 12 kilometers away from that mine, with all the geological anomalies from the area running through that mine, is quite beyond me. But anyway, I don't think it'll. I think now we're going to see some real interest in this company, and I think it's got a very exciting year ahead, and it's well diversified too. And also going back to what I said at the start, we've still got those manganese projects which the company has an interest in too, and that's in Peru, and of course, in northern Peru.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Alan. That's Forum Energy Metals we've spoken about there, and AIS Resources, both TSX listed companies, which, as we said at the start, it's quite easy to sign up to your ordinary broker, fill in a form, sign it, and you can then trade on those securities. So good opportunity, some good diversification there, getting a different exchange and getting some different sort of companies. But thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you, Mark. Cheers.
Speak to you later. Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching @stockboxmedia.